Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
On Friday, October 24th, the Norris Group proudly presents its 7th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts will join Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. Proceeds for the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event could not have been possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: Auction.com, HousingWire, Property Radar, the Apartment Owners Association, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Invest Club for Women and Iris Veneration, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association and Geraldine Berry, MVT Productions, and White House Catering. For event information, visit isurvivedrealestate.com.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Beth Pierce. Beth is the year's Vice President of the National Association of Realtors, after having served as a realtor for over 35 years in Beverly Hills, California. In addition, she is also the broker owner of Primetime Properties located in Century City, California, and whose specialty is residential real estate. Beth, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So how is real estate at the top end of the market? And I'm assuming that we're mostly dealing with properties that would exceed any Fannie Mae loan limit.
Right. At the top end of the market, it's terrific. There's no question that it's selling and it's moving and prices are great. They're terrific if you're the seller. And if you're the buyer, you better get in here. Our problem is that once you get out of the top end of the market, we're finding that things are much slower and much harder to qualify for a loan, everything, to get a loan. So
how is the jumbo market for financing, or are most of the buyers cash?
Most of the buyers at the high end of the market are cash. Or, as we're wont to say, they don't need a loan even if they get one, and then, of course, the banks will be happy to make them one.
Okay.
It's much harder for the average buyer, and the interest rates are terrific. So this is the time for the average buyer to get into this market before interest rates go up and prices go up.
Now, let's kind of just stay with this top end for just another couple of questions. The inventory level, how has that changed over the last year?
And the inventory level has gone up,
okay,
which is the good news. And there's more to buy, so that there is some choice on the market. But the good product, when it goes on, gets bought and frequently gets multiple offers.
Are the participants in this price range, are there speculators in this market? And are you seeing the kind of things we saw before where somebody will buy the smallest house and expand it considerably?
Well, I don't see the smallest house getting expanded in my markets as much. What I see is investors certainly are buying in the lower end of the market. They're certainly buying and flipping, and that is still going on at this moment as we speak.
But they're really not a participant in the higher level. Most of that is an occupant buyer, you would
Most
say?
Most of that is occupant buyer. I see a lot of people who are buying in the higher range and then selling 2 years later for a large profit. I've certainly seen that in the past couple of years. But they don't consider themselves speculators. They consider themselves people who like to buy and redecorate.
Well, and they also don't mind the tax advantages of having lived in it.
Exactly. Exactly. So they stay the right amount of time and move on.
Okay. An occupant speculator. That's a new one.
Yes. There you go. There's a new phrase for you.
Do we have much participation from foreign, use the word investors, but do we have foreign occupants participating?
Yes. We're seeing lots of buyers from Asia, Japan, China, all over the eastern part of our world, coming in, especially in California. We're told they're going all over, but we seem to see them all in California. So, and many of them are buying it as a second home or a third home, but some are buying for their children, for their grandchildren, and I would say for speculation, but they claim they're not. So.
Yeah, now see, I'm glad you just said that because I had an interesting a talk I did up in Northern California in San Jose, and there were about 400 Chinese investors in the audience. Mm-hmm. And after I got done, there was a Q&A, and somebody had got up and said, I just 2 years ago bought a property in San Jose for $1 million. 2 years later, it's worth $2 million, and I'm not going to sell it until it's worth $7 million. And I just thought, well, that's a lot to expect from one house. And what I didn't know is, had you owned something in Beijing, you might have had an increase in price some upwards of 15 times.
Wow.
Your original purchase price. That's really true. We knew a woman that had owned three properties in Beijing. I don't know how long she owned them, but I know it wasn't decades. It was less than 10 years for sure. She paid $50,000 for each of two of the properties and $100,000 for the last one. And she sold them all three within a few months ago for $3 million.
Now, that's an investment.
but so what? When you have that type of money coming out looking for another investment, yes. You can't tell me the expectation isn't there that this is going to work like that, too.
Yeah. And it's not. I don't think unless they're going to keep it for 25 years can they start to think in terms of those kind of multiples. That's not what any good realtor would say to a client that they can expect.
But you couldn't deter that mentality if it already happened. That's like a California investor going to Texas in 2005,
right,
coming off of a tripling, and then looking at the house prices in Texas. Everything looks like a bargain, and the assumption inside their head, even if it's never happened before in the history of Texas, would be, well, of course, this is going to go up too.
Yeah, yeah. And if they bought in Austin, it did.
It did, that's right.
But they had to have been very specific about their market.
Well, and you bring up a really good point, because that's really true in many places where you have hot spots that are, you kind of have to look at, okay, let's explain that. Why did it happen there and not over here? So what's so special about Austin? Are they the tech center and the college center?
Well, if I could really explain that, I wouldn't be sitting here still in the real estate business at my age. So my husband would say, why didn't you explain it to us first? You really can't explain why it happens. There are certain areas you can. You can say New York City because it's a finite amount of property with a heck of a lot of people who want to live in it. And so, therefore, obviously, it is going to all go up in value no matter what happens in the markets. You can say that about most major cities. You can say that about coastlines. Buy on a coastline and your property will go up in value. There's no question that limited areas are going to do that. Austin, Texas, everyone says, isn't really Texas. Now, if any Texicans are listening to me, I feel terrible, but that's what they say. It's the cultural capital. It's the music capital. It's everything in Texas. So, and I've been told by anybody who's ever been there, you'd understand if you came. So I'll leave it at that.
You know, if you just showed up to real estate in the last 5 years and took a look at the Fed fund rate, you would think that there was never volatility in the interest rates.
True.
And
and we know differently. I came into the business in late 1970s, and interest rates went from 18% to 21% as I was in my first 3 years of real estate. So I do know that interest rates are volatile.
As a matter of fact, I think it was 1980, the Fed fund rate changed 21 times.
Yeah, there you go. And usually it's not down.
Oh, yeah. Although it did, you're right, it did, yeah, a little bit. But the volatility was unnerving.
Yeah. And what I really believe is, even though the Fed says, Well, they're keeping interest rates low, which I certainly appreciate and think it's a terrific thing. I don't think it's a forever. And if someone is going to need a loan, I would say go out and buy something now. I'm not talking about for me. I'm talking about in general, wherever people are hearing this, go out and buy something. If you're thinking of buying, don't sit on the fence and say, oh, well, interest rates will be low again next year. I'll look then.
I agree with that sentiment because it is already here. I mean, it starts with a four, and it hasn't been too many times in our adult life time that it's been
right.
True.
Absolutely.
So you're really rolling the dice for, what, an extra half a percent?
Yeah, and I just think that people will regret it, and it's going to be that famous where you're driving along and you turn to your kids and say, you know, 4 years ago, I could have bought that house for $100,000. Why didn't you?
Yeah.
It's the real question. So,
what effect do you think interest rate hikes would have on price?
I don't think it'll affect price at all.
Okay.
I really don't. I think prices are going to go up. That's a personal opinion. That's not an NAR
okay.
opinion. You'd have to talk to our chief economist, Lawrence Young, to hear what he says. But I just don't see any reason why they're not going to continue to rise.
So the people that have an attitude that, and I see the articles constantly, you know, we're in a new bubble market and we're about to have another problem.
Right. I can't see it because I think the other problem was self-caused, if that's such a word. Yes, we were greedy sellers, greedy buyers, and far more greedy lenders.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused part of the problem, plus, of course, the recession, everything that was going on at the time. And I'm never going to say that prices won't go down in between. But in general, anybody who's invested in real estate 20 years ago certainly isn't complaining today. You know.
That's correct. Dodd-Frank, is it now fully implemented, or are there still things to decide?
There's still lots of things to decide. We're fighting meaning the National Association of Realtors is fighting very hard for mortgage debt forgiveness. That's for the people, the homeowners. There's still an awful lot of homeowners who are, they're saying it's more than 13% of them, who are still underwater. And if they sell their homes and lose money on it, the government still charges them, now again charges them taxes on it. So we have to get that back in to get a mortgage debt forgiveness relief for our clients.
Now, when did that, I guess I was mistaken. I thought that got renewed for this year. It has not yet.
Not yet, no. And we're fighting. We need some terrorism risk insurance. You know, people need to feel secure, especially in commercial real estate, in buying. There are all kinds of, they're still talking about getting rid of maybe second home mortgages as deductible. I don't think it's going to happen, but we just have to keep our homeowners vigilant. And NAR has been very successful. I'm very excited because a lot of the consumers have, our clients have been willing to go and contact their congresspeople and say, wait a minute, you got to do something about this. And that really helps because it can't just be you and me as the voice of real estate. It needs to be the person who's really being affected, which is the client, the homeowner.
It seems the world has become such a mess in the last few months that the budget concerns, it's not even on the front burner anymore, but it is on the back burner. And at some point, when they try to say, okay, we've got to save some money, real estate does look like it's in the crosshairs of that effort.
It always is. That's an easy target very frequently. And we just have to make sure that we stay vigilant and don't let Congress make that the easy target. It's kind of like the municipalities at the point of sale legislation that they always like to pass. Oh, that's okay. Everybody should have this, and we'll do it at the point of sale. Let the seller pay for it. Well,
mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing we see quite frequently.
One of the things that affected parts of California that have price ranges that are much different than Century City. Riverside had an FHA loan limit go from 500 to 350.
Yes.
Definitely changed the capacity to move properties over 350. Do you have a sense that that FHA loan limit is not going to be left untouched, will decline further?
I would hate to see it decline further. I think, personally, that was a huge mistake. I'm not sure where they found any statistics to back that change. It just doesn't make logical sense. And ask anybody in Riverside or half the San Fernando Valley or any place else, that just doesn't make sense. I don't think they'll get away with bringing it down lower. I understand that in Arkansas that $350,000 sounds like you're a millionaire, but not in a great many parts of the country. And if they would only look around and if people would vote with their pocketbooks, I think they'd see that they'd get a lot better results. So, and I'm not saying one party or the other. I'm saying look at how your congresspeople vote and make sure you tell them what you want done. And
back between, let's say, 2000 and 2005 or 6, becoming a homeowner was sort of the holy grail of everyone's effort. What's the attitude now in Congress about programs that encourage home ownership versus it's okay if you don't, just stay a renter?
I'm not an expert on what they're thinking. I must admit, I go into these meetings with them and I think they have two sides of their mouth, depending on who they're talking to in general. Some are, you know, like we locally have a man named Brad Sherman, who's our congressman, and he'd fight for real estate and all the best things you can have. That's not an ad for Brad. I'm just mentioning that he's one of those people who do that, who understand what's going on and the fact that if someone wishes to buy a house and they can afford to make the payments, you need to help them buy the house. And I think that's every realtor's belief, and not that everybody needs to own. I don't believe that. I think there are people who are not ready to own or who don't want to own, and they shouldn't. But if they want to and they can afford to make those payments, let's make it as pleasant and easy for them as possible so that they can become homeowners.
Let's talk about this famous generation called the millennials. What's holding them up? They don't seem to want to form households or buy houses. What's up?
They don't seem to want to do any of the things that in my generation one did. They don't want to get married. They don't want to form households. They don't even want to live together and say, let's buy it as Beth and Larry, you know?
Right.
So that's, I can't even understand my own kids. You expect me to understand a whole generation?
Well, I find it fascinating talking to them about the reasoning of their decision. And they seem to want a lot of flexibility. So like, okay, so what, you're going to move to Kansas and get a job? I don't understand that, how they land on that spot.
I don't either. I will tell you, because are they saying that they're perfectly willing to change the locale of where they look? I can't believe that somebody in Southern California really, and it's a terrible thing to say, but really wants to move to Kansas or Nebraska or something. I'd let them spend one winter in those places and see if they really want to do that. So I understand that they want to be mobile enough to change jobs, but you would think that they understood that they can then sell the property again that they buy it, make it look good, sell it. You're going to make a profit. That's the way life is.
I don't know how to chart this, but I wonder if there's some hesitancy because of what they just saw happen to people that owned it. So,
right. Possible.
Yeah. And again, you don't know how to chart that, but yes. Our industry went through the Great Depression, basically.
Yes. And certainly that is frightening to young people. But if they look at statistics as to long-term, they're going to see that, their mothers and fathers made a lot of money on their property, should they have sold it, on their property. When I was selling in 1976, when I came in, oh God, that makes me old, when I came into the business, the average house was around $79,000. And those same houses may have gone down drastically in the last recession, but they're still worth over $500,000. So where else were they going to make their money, that kind of money? It's the largest investment you will make probably in your life is your home, but you're going to get the use of it. You're going to live there. You're going to raise your family should you choose to have a family or just enjoy it yourself. And then 25 years later or 8 years later or whatever it is, you're going to sell it, and you're going to sell it for a profit. Now, if you bought in 07 or whatever, in 06, and tried to sell in 09, yeah, that wasn't the case. But we're talking about long-term hold it. I just don't believe that it's not a good investment.
And I really disagree with the philosophy that there's no financial difference between the, let's say, the net worth of the occupant owner and the renter over time. That housing cost is very different. It's a variable housing cost, and you never build equity, and you never pay it off.
Now, and it's been shown over and over again that the person who owns the net worth is far greater. And, you know, again, I can get you statistics from NAR or CAR, and they'll, I keep using acronyms, it's from the National Association of Realtors or the California Association of Realtors, and they'll show you that just what you said. So,
Fannie and Freddie came out with an announcement just within probably about the last week where they shortened the length of time someone has to wait after they've had a foreclosure or bankruptcy. Is that correct on both of those?
I have not heard that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't know. But if that would make sense, because most lenders have. Most lenders are now saying 3 years. What is Fannie and Freddie now saying?
I think it's 2 or 3 years. And right. I know it's not longer than 3 years. And it might be different for a foreclosure or bankruptcy. But that was just recently decided.
Yeah.
It's interesting, like FHA, for instance, they don't really have a FICO score requirement, and but every lender that funds FHA loans has one.
Yes.
And that's basically an overlay. Do you see an easing of our overlays by lenders yet to where they're going to become more flexible in who they'll lend to?
We haven't seen it.
Okay.
It may exist. They may say they have it, but haven't had a client yet who's seen it.
So it's still not helping our industry.
No.
This year in California has been disappointing in volume of sales.
Yes.
We're down something probably around 20%, and we just went through a pretty boring summer as far as volume.
Absolutely true.
Is anybody on the Hill concerned about that? Are they looking at that going,
Nobody that I've talked to.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I hope they look at it, because it would be nice to have that volume back, and it also would be nice to have contractors in California busy as well.
That would be terrific, and new housing starts to change or something to make a difference for us.
Yeah, well, we've run out of time. We're looking very much forward to having you on the panel this year.
Thank you. I am looking forward to being there.
All right, Beth. Thank you so much.
Appreciate your having me.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate, Adrenaline Athletics, Coldwell Banker Town & Country, Elite Auctions, In A Day Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Investor Experts, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keystone CPA, Las Brisas Escrow, LA South REIA, Lavis Associates, Pilot Limousine, Primary Residential Mortgage, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, Personal Real Estate Magazine, Sonica Corporation, South Point Companies, Spinnaker Loans, Tony Alvarez, UDirect IRA Services, and the Council of Multiple Listing Services. See isurvivedrealestate.com for video of the live event and more on our sponsors.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.